Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 104.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and guests are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This morning's prayer will be offered by Representative Quick. We ask everyone to stand for the prayer on the floor, as well as our guests in the gallery, and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Quick.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, and good morning to everyone. May we pause for a moment of silence for those whose faith may be different than mine. I also want to acknowledge and honor all the clergy who are present. With the passing of Representative Carter, I realize how many clergy we have present, so I wanted to honor your presence. Let's pray together. Lord, it's us again, those you have chosen either by election or occupation to serve you by serving your people through our work on this campus. God, we thank you for choosing us. And we understand that we cannot please you without your help and your guiding hand. We invite you, Father, since you are present, to please preside over our affairs this day. If we have a wayward thought, please capture it. If we plan a harsh word, please arrest it. If we plan bad intentions, please drown them in grace, mercy, and compassion. And we ask your continued comfort on the family of Representative Carter and all those families who grieve throughout our state. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jump Caldwell, Representative Hall is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for August 4th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Hall moves the journal for August 4th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Ratification of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
The rolling clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 507, an act to make various changes to the North Carolina Business Corporation Act as recommended by the North Carolina Bar Association. House Bill 73, an act to defer certain ABC permit renewal registration fees due on May 1st, 2021, or for the period covering May 1st, 2021 through April 30th, 2022, and to further defer previously deferred permit fees. House Bill 312, an act to require a candidate or appointee for the Office of Sheriff to disclose all felony convictions, including any expunged convictions. And the following bill due to ratify, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of the Secretary of State. House Bill 244, an act to change the election method for Lincoln County Board of Education from nonpartisan to partisan.
Chapter bills will be noted. Message from the Senate, Corporal Reed.
House Bill 96, Senate Committee Substitute Number 2, 4th Edition. A bill to be entitled an act to authorize immunizing pharmacists to dispense, deliver, and administer certain treatment and medications and to require parental consent for administration of vaccines under an emergency authorization to a minor for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute Number 2.
Counter for rule 30 and pursuant to rule 36B. We may add it to the today's calendar. This is a concurrence, but chair wants to consult with the sponsors of the bill before we do that. So we'll just say 36B for right now. Conference report is recognized to be sent forth. Corker Reed.
The President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conference is appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 150, a bill to entitle an act to amend the charter of the City of Morganton to clarify the time period for filling vacancies in the office of mayor and to provide that the city manager shall appoint a city clerk to update fines for certain voting violations in Lake James and to provide for elections for the town of Hildebrand shall be held in even number years to establish office hours and to register the deed in Cleveland County to authorize the town of Weldon to dispose of certain property for private negotiation and sale and to make technical corrections in the terms of the Office of the Board of Trustees of Cleveland Community College and to make technical corrections to authorization of the delay of the Lexington City Board of Education election in 2021. House Committee Substitute favorable 6-29-21. House Committee Substitute number 2 favorable 6-30-21. House Committee Substitute number 3 favorable 7-13-21. Fifth edition in gross 7-13-21 submit the following report. The Senate and the House agrees with the following amendment. To the House Committee Substitute favorable 6-29-21. House Committee Substitute number 2 favorable 6-30-21. House Committee Substitute number 3, favorable 7-13-21, fifth edition in gross 7-13-21, and the Senate concurs in the House Committee Substitute. Amended, delete the entire House Committee Substitute, favorable 6-29-21. House Committee Substitute number 2, favorable 6-30-21. House Committee Substitute number 3, favorable 7-13-21, fifth edition in gross 7-13-21, and substitute the attached proposed conference. Committee Substitute S-150-PCCS-15320-DK-1. The conferees recommended that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date for conferees appointed report, August 5th, 2021. Conferees for the Senate, Senator Daniels, Chair, Senators Alexander, Jarvis, and Finch. Conferees for the House of Representatives, Representative Moore, Chair.
Reading court's directed to read the conference report again. Don't do it. Calendar without objection today's calendar. So ordered. Members, the other bill that was read in earlier, House Bill 96, that was a House bill. Chair's informed it's allow pharmacist administration injectable drugs. I think that's one that's been worked out. It looks like it. Trying to see if it passed unanimously. I think it's. I don't know of any controversy. Ask that day's calendar. Any objection? Hearing none. So ordered. Representative Hall is recognized to send forth a committee report. Clerk Reed.
Representative Hall, Rules Calendar Operations House Committee Report, Senate Bill 35, Max 4-year age difference to marry under age 18 years, favorable.
Calendar for Tuesday.
Senate Bill 299, NCDOI, NAIC, Accreditation AV, favorable.
Calendar for Tuesday.
Senate Bill 301, Expand Expunction Eligibility, favorable.
Calendar for Tuesday.
Senate Bill 347, Captive Insurance Amendments, favorable.
Calendar for Tuesday.
House Bill 911, Regulatory Reform 2.0, favorable. Committee Substitute Number 2, unfavorable. Committee Substitute Number 1.
Committee Substitute Number 1 is placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee Substitute Number 2, calendar, and without objection, today's calendar. So ordered. Members, there were a number of bills the chair was looking at adding today. The Senate has adjourned for the week, and there were a number of House bills we were looking for the Senate to take up before those are considered. So those bills had the Senate had acted on a number of House bills. We're going to be done today, but they will not at this time. We'll deal with them next week or whenever circumstances allow us to get around to them. House Bill 19, Carter Reed.
Representative Sasson and Moss, House Bill 19, a bill to be entitled an act removing the cap of satellite annexation of various municipalities. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Stanley, Representative Sasser, is recognized to debate the bill on its third reading.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I believe I'll need a motion. Gentleman's recognized for a motion on this one.
I move we concur.
Gentleman's moved we concur. The gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thanks, sir. We had a good vote yesterday, and I'd appreciate your vote today. Thank you very much.
Question for the House is the adoption of the motion to concur on third reading for House Bill 19. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Harrison, aye. Hurtado, aye. Representative Bowles on the floor. Bowles, aye. Clerk will, like the machine, record the vote. 108, having voted in the affirmative and 3 in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 19. The bill is ordered and rolled. House Bill 366, the clerk will read.
Representatives Yarbrough, Bradford, Moffitt, and Rydell. House Bill 366, a bill to be entitled an act to provide further regulatory relief to the citizens of North Carolina. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Person, Representative Yarbrough, recognized for motion.
I move to not concur.
Gentleman's moved the House do not concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 366. Gentleman desiring debate on the motion?
Yes.
From House floor. Please.
The Senate added a few things to this bill, and one of them has proven to be fairly controversial. We need a little bit more time to work through the details of it, and so I ask you not to concur.
Question for the House, the adoption of the motion not to concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 366. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Yeah. Representative Harrison, you and I. Harrison, aye. Hurtado, aye. Representative Jones, did the gentleman intend to be the only no vote on this? It's a motion not to concur. Not calling you out, just want to make sure. If you want to vote aye, you can hit the green or stay red. I haven't locked the machine yet. All right. Clerk, lock machine, record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The House has voted not to concur with the Senate committee substitute. House Bill 366 and the Senate will be so notified. Senate Bill 150, clerk will read.
Senate Bill 150, a bill to be entitled Various Local Changes. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
This will be a motion to adopt the conference report. Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for a motion as to adopt the conference report for Senate Bill 150, local bill.
Mr. Speaker, can we displace that momentarily?
Sure. Gentleman's recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adopt the conference report to Senate Bill 150.
Gentleman has moved the adoption of the conference report. Further discussion, further debate. All those in favor of adopting the conference report, Senate Bill 150, will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Harrison, aye. Hurtado, aye. Representative Belk wish to vote. Okay. Representative Dixon on the floor. Dixon, aye. Dixon, aye. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The House does adopt the conference report to Senate Bill 150, and the Senate will be so notified. House Bill 96, the clerk will read.
Representatives Sasser, Setzer, White, and Adcock, House Bill 96, a bill to be entitled Allow Pharmacists to Administer Injectable Drugs, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Stanley, Representative Sasser, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move we concur.
Gentleman has moved that the House concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 96, and the gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, sir. There's no opposition to this bill. We worked with some changes that they made over in the Senate. All the stakeholders are on board, so I would appreciate your green vote. Thank you.
Question for the House, the adoption of the motion to concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 96. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Following members wish to record. Let's see. I've got Harrison, aye. Harrison, no. Hurtado, aye. Representative Brown on the floor. Okay. Brown, aye. Clerk White Machine, record the vote. 106, having voted in the affirmative and 5 in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 96. Bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. House Bill 911, clerk will read.
Representatives Rydell, Bradford, Moffitt, and Yarborough, House Bill 911, a bill to be entitled Act to provide additional regulatory relief to the citizens of North Carolina. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Who's carrying this bill? Representative Rydell, is the gentleman ready to proceed?
Yes, sir.
The gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, this is our Regulatory Reform 2.0 bill. It's got several items. I'll just try to hit some of the high points and then be happy to take any questions that might come up. This particular proposed committee substitute that came out of the Rules Committee unanimously deleted a previous section that dealt with dispensing optician practices, so the optician component is no longer in the bill. It also narrowed down the proposed public records exception to no longer include plans capable of being produced by ISS or GIS. And it also deleted another section that had to do with Title V hearings that we got some clarification from EPA and decided to delete the section that dealt with that. And then there's a new section that clarifies the North Carolina Veterinary Medical Board may not issue civil penalties to veterinary facility permittees in an amount greater than the current statutory limit of $5,000. It had previously been moved up to $25,000, and we've been asked to reduce it back to the standard of $5,000, and happy to do so. And there's also a component in there dealing with reflexologists. Some of you may have had the benefit of their handiwork yesterday and experienced firsthand the high level of professionalism of these folks. And what we have is a section that simply codifies the existing administrative relationship between the massage board and reflexologists, which exempts from massage board oversight any nationally certified reflexologists. I believe there's only 48 of those in the state, so they would continue the exemption that they're already under with an administrative agreement with the massage board. So it really doesn't change much. It just codifies the existing relationship that has worked out well. And, Mr. Speaker, I know we have several amendments, and I think there's still one pending. And I'd be happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Representative Warren is recognized to send forth Amendment ABR 50. Corporate.
Representative Warren moves to amend the bill on page 8, lines 4 through 6, by rewriting the line to read. The
gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
It's a very simple amendment, which I'm grateful for because I don't think Representative Pittman's had time to check the grammar or punctuation yet. This was requested by DHHS, and it simply aligns the state with the recent changes that the feds made on parts per billion measurements of lead in dust, and appreciate your support.
Representative Rydell, do you gentlemen wish to debate the amendment?
Oh, anything from my good friend Harry Warren is good, Mr. Speaker.
All right. Further, Representative Brown, I assume your light's on for your amendment. Is that correct? Not to debate this one?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. Any other discussion, debate on this amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have the amendment. The ayes have it, and the amendment is adopted. Representative Brown, I think that Representative Riddell was wanting to take some time to look at your amendment. You may wish to go over and speak to him just a moment, too. I think he's wanting to just check that and see what it does. So I'll take it up once you gentlemen speak. For what purpose does the gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, rise?
Send forth an amendment.
Okay. And has the bill sponsor seen your amendment, Representative McNeil?
We have collaborated on this for months.
Okay. Gentlemen's recognized. Send forth the amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative McNeil moves to amend the bill on page 7, line 23, by rewriting the line to read.
Gentleman has floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you. In the section of 9-11 that deals with reflexology, there is a section, the language exempts students that are trying to get the National Board certification. However, the way it's worded, that student, they could be a student in perpetuity forever. So I don't think we ought to exempt somebody that's getting their National Board certification to take 2 or 3 or 4 years when it can be done in 12 months. So what my amendment does, it just says that students that are seeking to become National Board certified in reflexology are exempt for a 12-month period while they're attempting to get that certification. So all it does is just keeps somebody from saying they're a student forever. So I've talked to Representative Riddell about this, and he's in support of the amendment, and I'd appreciate your support also.
For what purpose the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Bell, rise?
To ask an amendment sponsor a question.
Representative McNeil, does the gentleman yield?
I do.
He yields.
Yeah, I just want to, so are you saying that they have within 1 year to go ahead and finish their schooling, and that is adequate for them to do everything as far as making sure that they follow all the procedures for that national certification, including work outside, not just school work?
Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman has the floor to respond.
Okay, all right. Basically what the amendment does is in the language now, it just says that they're exempt while they're attempting to become National Board certified. What this amendment is doing is keeping them from being a student for the next 20 years. It's just saying, if you want to be a student to become National Board certified, you're time limited. You need to go ahead and do that. You can't be exempted forever. So that's basically the intent.
Okay, thank you.
Is this on this amendment, Representative Adams? Gentleman's recognized. For what purpose does the gentleman rise?
Inquiry of the amendment sponsor.
Representative McNeil, the gentleman yield?
I do.
He yields.
What if there, just hypothetically, what if there's an interruption of the certification process like maybe a pandemic?
I can't answer that because pandemics are unpredictable.
So is the certification process. Thank you.
All right. For what purpose, the lady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher, rise.
To ask a question of the amendment sponsor.
Representative McNeil, gentlemen, yield.
I do.
He has slow reflexes today, but he does yield.
Thank you, Representative McNeil.
Just remain standing.
I wonder if you could tell us how long the average certification process takes for certification in reflexology.
That depends on who you talk to. I've heard anywhere from 6 to 18 months, so we just chose a point in between.
Thank you.
Representative Riddell, would the gentleman like to discuss reflexology as well?
I want to reflect on it, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman may.
Thank you. Regarding the amendment, Representative McNeil and myself have been working on this whole issue for several years, and he's been a good colleague to work with, as always, and those of you who know him understand that. I have no problem with the 12-month period that the amendment brings forth.
We'll see how it works. If we need longer, we can always change it. If we need shorter, we can change it that way. But I just want to highlight, again, an aspect about reflexology. They do not belong under the massage board if they are nationally certified reflexologists. The current agreement that's out there exempts nationally certified reflexologists from being accountable to the massage board. They have recognized the professional accomplishments of nationally certified reflexologists and realized that they don't need that oversight. We're talking again of about 48 reflexologists in North Carolina right now, so it's not exactly a large number, none of which have ever, under North Carolina law, been accused, let alone found guilty, of any kind of illicit trafficking, prostitution, or misbehavior. These are high-class professionals. You met some of them yesterday. So I have no problem with the amendment, but I just want to make sure, as a body, we understand we are not talking about people who are in a scandal-laden business. These are legitimate professionals. They are mostly independent women contractors. So I encourage you to vote yes for the amendment and yes on the overall bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, the adoption of Amendment A2, sent forward by Representative McNeil. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment's adopted. Representative Brown, recognized, send forth Amendment ARI 36. Corporal Reed.
Representative Brown moves to amend the bill on page 6, line 51, by rewriting that line to read.
Representative Brown, as he approaches his desk, is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I apologize for that delay. First, I would like to commend Representative Riddell for the work he's done on this package and working with him in the Regulatory Reform Committee. I wanted to just clarify one piece of language that's in this provision dealing with the public records request. I'm in complete understanding and in favor of making sure we're keeping our water systems safe and secure from any vulnerabilities. However, I do want to make sure that we are coupling that with the public's right to know what's in their drinking water. And I would like to add one simple line in there that says that while we cannot disclose through public records request the layout, the schematics, or design of any of our pipes, we are able for the public to be able to receive information on any lead content in the construction materials of a public water distribution system. I've talked with Representative Riddell and other folks here regarding some federal law that may be out there. I'm still a little bit unsure whether that will fully cover all public records requests. There is an identification standard that must be made on the federal level, but I want to make sure that anybody who is moving into a community or suspects there is lead in their drinking water is able to make a public records request to get that information. Several of our communities across North Carolina, including some in my home of Mecklenburg, have had issues with lead, and we all know the issues that can lead to with children and their formation in their early lives. So I want to make sure that any unscrupulous actors can't take advantage of a provision that we're taking, because as a lawyer, I've seen people construe statutes and dangling participles in many different ways, and I don't want that to be the case here with a piece of legislation that can impact so many people. So I ask you to vote yes on this provision. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Alamance, Representative Riddell, rise.
Speak on the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank Representative Brown for the good exchange we've just had. I believe this is really covered by the Federal Clean Water Act as it exists currently under federal law. However, you know, who wants to be in favor of lead in water, right? So I would encourage everybody to vote in favor of the amendment. If we find out it's redundant, we can always take it out on the Senate side or in conference. But I think right now it's not going to hurt anything. Thank you.
Okay. Question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A3, sent forward by Representative Brown. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment is adopted. We're now back on the bill as amended. Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose, the lady from New Hanover, Representative Butler, rise.
To speak to the bill.
The lady has the floor.
I just want to remind everyone that this particular bill has that provision that I think is probably rooted in the special interest of Airbnb, VRBO. We're taking the authority away from our municipalities and our local entities to govern these peer-to-peer rental, these peer-to-peer rentals that you see in some of our urban environments. I think that's a bad precedent to set. We debated it before. I would ask you to vote no simply because of that provision. Thank you.
Why purpose, Jim from Union. Representative Arprise.
I guess to speak to the comment that Representative Butler just spoke to.
The gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you. Wanted to go over the history of this because I think there's a lot of misinformation that's out there about what happened. And I'm going to describe the history because I think that's very important. In 2011, there was a bill passed, Senate Bill 683, and in it said that in no event may a county do any of the following. Now, item one, adopt or enforce any ordinance that would require any owner or manager of real property to obtain any permit or permission from the county to lease or rent residential real property except for those rental units that has more than three verified violations. And then it keeps on going. So that is the law since 2011. It's been that way. Senate Bill 683 was passed later, but in the intervening time, the city of Wilmington enacted a ordinance that was challenged by a homeowner down there, and they lost in court because of this provision. They said that the city did not have the authority to restrict that process through this law. They lost. Then, in Senate Bill 355 in the 2019 session, there was a large bill, 100-page bill, and it was simply supposed to combine Section 160A, which was the city development regs, and 153A, the county development regs, into a common development regulation under a new chapter 160D. Tucked away in that was supposed to combine because both sections had the same language. However, tucked away in that bill in 2019, 9 words were added. The ad words were saying, passed, and it says that there would not be required to get a permit except under Article 11 or Article 12, which was the building code enforcement or minimum housing code enforcement. That was the very heart of the lawsuit that the defendants lost on. And so the law was changed in the middle of an ongoing lawsuit to benefit one of the parties in the lawsuit. After this was changed, it was never discussed, never brought out, never talked about. After Senate Bill, after Senate Bill 355 was passed, the write-up from the School of Government said this revision clarifies the limitation is intended to apply to housing code and building code only. But what it does is benefit one of the parties in the lawsuit. In fact, after the law was passed and became effective, then the city filed an appeal citing the words that were added to clarify the case. I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong to benefit legislation in the midst of an ongoing dispute. What you think about short-term rentals, that's up to you. But it shouldn't be changed this way in the middle of a lawsuit to prejudice one party against another. I think we need to have a full-on debate because I think it's worthy of that. But I don't think it should be changed to benefit in the midst of a lawsuit this way. Therefore, what this does is simply take out those words that nobody asked to be included. It doesn't clarify anything. In fact, what it does is benefit in the midst of an ongoing lawsuit, one party versus another. In fact, the court case itself referenced these changes to do that. What this simply does is whatever rights were out there back in 2011, the city still have. The county still have. Nothing changes that. That's what this does to delete those words. Simply put it back the way it was and ask for your support on the bill. I stand for any questions.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
To speak on the bill.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciated the history. There was a little part that was left out, and that's Airbnbs. So we're now getting a lot of Airbnbs in neighborhoods. If you get multiple Airbnbs in a neighborhood, it decreases the value for other homes. So we need to study this more before we start passing laws, and so I'm opposed to this amendment.
For what purpose the lady from New Hanover, Representative Butler, rise?
Speak to the bill a second time.
The lady has the floor.
Representative said it precisely. There was ambiguity involved, and a clarification was made to make it clear that the intention was to regulate rentals in the housing and building code context, not in the zoning and land use context. How can you tell a municipality or a county or any other local government entity that it doesn't have the authority to control the property within its boundaries? That's what we're doing. Local authorities understand far better than we do what is necessary in their communities. And if a city council or a county commission passes a law and the people don't like the law, their obligation is to vote that person out at the next opportunity. That's not for us to decide. This was an ambiguity that was cleared up. There is litigation right now at the Court of Appeals. They're going to be rendering a decision, and that will be the end of it. And if the municipality loses, it loses. But they have had testimony and depositions and witnesses, and they are in a better position to decide this than we are. I think this is a bad part of the bill, and for that reason, we should vote no on it. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Union, Representative Arprise?
Speak a second time.
The gentleman has the floor.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, I appeal to you in that this does nothing but simply set the stage back so that we can actually have the full-on debate. I think we've had a long-standing history to not change the law in the midst of an ongoing dispute from the original court case and in a court of appeals. And then from there, we will determine what the outcome truly is. Because when you change the rules of the game in the middle, you really don't know who won. We don't really know what the issue is. We really can't go back to the original dispute and say, did the Court of Appeals rule on the new amended language? Or did it rule on the changed rules original court ruling? All I'm doing with this language is putting it back the way it was almost 10 years ago. Whatever powers they have, they have. We're not changing it. We're not disadvantaged. What we're doing is not interfering in an ongoing case. And I ask for your support.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 911 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Harrison, no. Hurtado, no. Clerk Lock Machine report a vote. 63 having voted in the affirmative, 45 in the negative. House Bill 911 having passed second reading, Order and Gross, but remains on the calendar. And members, that will be calendared for Tuesday. And at this time, Chair will strike the engrossment this time. That can be handled after third reading. Senate Bill 316, the short title of that is General Contractors Plumbing Electrical Exempt. That bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Rules. It is referred to the Committee on Local Government and Land Use with a referral to rules thereafter if that committee does report it out favorably. Members, on motion of the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Riddell, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a number of nationally certified reflexologists who are here with us today. I want to thank them being here. We have I believe, Phaedra Neely and Catherine Abrasini. If y'all would please stand, I want to welcome you. I apologize if I butchered your names. Thank you for being with us today. Honored to have you with us. So, a little bit about our schedule as we have now concluded the business for the day here in the House. We are, the Finance Committee will be meeting, I believe, Monday afternoon, somewhere around either 2 or 3 o'clock. If you're a Finance Committee member, you need to be here Monday afternoon when the Finance Committee takes up the finance piece to the budget. Next week on Tuesday will be the full day in appropriations. I believe they're going to start at 9 and probably go to 5, maybe a little later. What we're going to tentatively set for the next votes at this point would be on Tuesday at 5. We're not going to have any votes on Monday. So we would take votes Tuesday at 5. Depending upon the pace at which the Appropriations Committee is working, we may end up moving those votes to accommodate that so that the committee can complete its work. But as of right now, there are votes scheduled for Tuesday. I'd mentioned earlier that there were a number of House bills and Senate bills that were, gonna travel down the road together. There were a few vehicles missing on the interstate. So we found an exit ramp. So everybody's parked off to the side right now. But we'll deal with that next week. We're going to be here a little while, so we'll get around to it. But those bills, you could see, of course, it's pretty obvious to see those are bills that we're probably going to move through, but then they will move through more than likely next week. We'll just need to see what happens on the other side of the building. So that's where things stand. So next week will primarily be the budget. The plan is, of course, to have the all-day marathon day and appropriations on Tuesday, and then Wednesday to take up the second reading on the budget, with the third reading happening on Thursday. And so that would be the order of business next week. I do not believe that we would have to be here next Friday. Just depends if something happens with the budget getting sidelined for some reason. But that's the plan. It looks like next week's going to be a busy week, but I would anticipate a productive week. So we're going to go ahead now at this time, go to notices and announcements. For what purpose does the lady from Forsyth, Representative Baker, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm trying to understand the process. So we won't have votes on Monday. All the appropriation committees will meet on Tuesday. Is that when we will see the budget, or does the budget get reviewed based on the information as it's coming out of committees? Could you just explain to me, I'm sorry, how this is going to work? I'm just trying to figure it all out.
Yeah. So Tuesday's when the magic happens, right? That's when the Appropriations Committee goes through the process. I'd have to let one of the Appropriations Chairs speak to when the budget bill will be rolled out, because the area chairs have been meeting today. So Representative Lambeth, the gentleman's recognized to speak to the staffs of the budget.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just for the members to be fully aware, we'll be here over the weekend doing all the final edits and all the, if there were amendments or anything like that came out of the committees that are meeting today. The plan is on Monday we'll have an online version that will be posted. We hope to get that posted as early as we can on Monday. Some of that depends on staff. They will be working Sunday late, and then printing those big documents on Sunday during the night, early Monday morning. So you'll actually get a hard copy to your office Monday. And again, we're trying to get it sooner than later on Monday. And then you'll get an online version that will be posted Monday as well. And then, as the speaker said, Tuesday morning at 2, that is when all the appropriations committees come together to it's basically, I think, about 94, 95 of us that will be in the full appropriation committee. The schedule is that morning to get a recap again of each of the areas, break for lunch around 12 to 2. That's when the deadline for amendments will be noon on Tuesday. We'll be looking at those amendments during that two-hour break, and then we'll start taking up amendments around 2 o'clock on Tuesday. That's kind of how the process will work, and hopefully we can work through that as quickly as possible. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Sain, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has floor.
Members, I mentioned this in our caucus yesterday, but particularly for new members, might be helpful to you. You will get this huge printed, group of papers that are pretty heavy and a little difficult to manage. But I've learned from being around this building, if no one tells you, you just don't know. And if you don't know to ask, you would never know. But that document, those all documents from the budget will be online. So on nclag.gov, on the left side of the page, when that goes live, those will show up over there on the left side. So if you're digital and want to search through the documents and follow along in appropriate meetings and so forth, you can do it that way, and you don't have to carry that big old budget around if you don't want to. Just wanted to make sure that you knew that. Folks were surprised to learn that had been here for a while. So again, if no one shows you, you just don't know. So hopefully that's helpful to you.
For what purpose does the lady from Cabarrus, Representative Baker, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I rise to recognize a man who doesn't need to speak just to hear himself talk, but when he does have something to say, it's worth listening to. He is kind and positive, and I sort of always assumed that the reason for that was that he was smiling all the time was because he was kind and positive, but I found out otherwise. The secret to his smile is this sweet, sugary stash that we have right here. It's in our pantry, and that's what keeps him smiling. So I appreciate my kind and positive and generous seatmate who is happy to share the stash, and I hope you'll join me in recognizing Representative Howard Penny on his birthday. Happy birthday.
What purpose does the gentleman from Scotland, Representative Pierce, rise?
Like that. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask one of the chairs of appropriation a question, please. Representative Lambert will be fine.
I see Representative Lambert standing. Gentleman yield.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Representative Lambert, would there be any special rules as we prepare for appropriation as it relates to the process amendments? Is going to be any special rules? We had some in committee this morning, so we're trying to figure out anything we need to know in advance as we prepare for next week. Any rules?
That's a great question. The rules will be very similar to previous appropriation meetings with a couple changes because we do have federal money and we do have the SCIF that we're working with this time. We'll have a set of those guidelines and rules, but basically if you have an amendment similar to previous years, you need to balance that within the constraints of the budget. In other words, if you want to add something, you have to have some place to take that away, working with the committee chairs. We are not going to allow you to get into using the federal money. We've been working on that. We'll have that plan. It's been well thought through, both with House and Senate. So we don't want members to go in and try to use federal money to meet one of their needs in an amendment. So that's probably the only real difference from previous meetings. I hope that's helpful.
And Representative Pierce, the gentleman may want to check the House rules, Rule 43, which governs amendments that would be in order on budget matters. You remember we have the rules that apply to that. Gentleman may just want to refer to that, and all other members may as well. Any further notices or announcements? Seeing none, gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Monday, August 9th at 5 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Eiler, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Monday, August 9th at 5 p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.
Clarification for the record. Senate Bill 316, short titled General Contractors Plumbing Electrical Exemptions. The referral for those bills was withdrawn from the Committee on Rules, recommitted to the Committee on Local Government, Land Use Planning and Development, Regulatory Reform, and then Rules. Clarification for the record. Speaker appoints the following conferees to House Bill 366, short title Regulatory Reform Act of 2021. Conferees for the House of Representatives, Representative Yarborough, Chair, Representative Riddell, Representative Brody, Representative Moffitt, and Representative Winslow, Senate notified by special message.